I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio, your only real feel-good radio station. Available on Alexa, available on Android, iOS, podcast, however you receive your health education, your health motivation, and your health inspiration. We are the only station that really literally covers every area of health. How you doing? The world is ours. Hey, we're gonna have that girl, 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 my girl tonight. We're gonna shake that load of tear up heart to heart. But before we get into that conversation, before we have that heart to heart, I hope, like me, you to remember that you are blessed and divinely favored, blessed and highly favored, a magnet for miracles, the solution to someone's problem, and definitely, definitely the answer to somebody's prayer. Her Health and Happiness is a show dedicated to all aspects of female intimate health and the whole person. And this week is no different. We finished that conversation with the wonderful Justice Williams MBE. And today we have that conversation, that universal conversation. That girl talk around menopause. Sitting in the chair dancing, right? I don't know about you, but I can have those tunes that I can play forever and I can just enjoy. So my shoulders are moving and everything is in the hips. I'm smiling because a friend of mine who's into health and vitality, a male, he said one thing, which is very, very true, right? Because I tell everybody, everything is in the hips. Everything meets at the hips. Everything's loaded into the hips. Everything is in the hips. The legs link into the hips, into the pelvis. The trunk sits on the hips, into the pelvis. The arms into the trunk, into the pelvis. The head, the neck, the shoulders, into the pelvis. Everything meets at the pelvis, and the pelvis is the gateway that links that inner and outer worlds, right? Now, he said this one thing to me. He said, whatever happens, Jenny, never lose the ability to move the hips, because when you lose the ability to move the hips, you begin to lose your life. And you know what? It is 100% true. 100%. I tell everyone it's all in the hips. When I did my interview way back when on 2006, 26th of June, 2006, on This Morning Television, the man, I won't even repeat the words, he was like, hey, George, come here. And I was just doing a pelvic rock. When I first met Paul Check, when he came over from America, I brought the Swiss ball to the Harbour Club in Chelsea. His Diana used to train, God rest her soul. I'm just doing a natural pelvic rock, forward and back, side to side, doing the circles like he told me. I'm able to disassociate downstairs from upstairs. And he came to my ear and he whispered in my ear, I bet all the men love you. I didn't get it at the time. I didn't get it when the man on TV was just like, George, come here. And couldn't understand why my hips could move the way they do. When you watch belly dancers, when you watch these people move their hips, you're just like, what? You know, it's like, how are they disassociated? But everything happens in the hips. Your feet are your base of support. Your pelvis is your center of gravity over that base of support, and your head and neck your eyes, your inner ear, your jaw are your limits of stability. What that means is they want to be balanced on the horizon. But the position of your hips, which can be affected by the head or the feet, dictates what happens upstairs and downstairs. I mean, you know, it's very, very powerful. But if you want to avoid knee injury, ankle injury, low back problems, and a whole host of issues, look after your pelvis. That wasn't in the script for this week. But I just was sitting on the chair and I was just rocking my hips and dancing and moving my shoulders and thinking, yeah, that's true. It's just amazing. It's just the body is amazing. When I say we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we seriously are. But before I bring back Justice, and I do hope you really enjoyed what she shared last week, I was able to fleet between her business and her family, her faith and the person she is, what drives her, what inspires her, how she inspires others. And, you know, the thing is, when I think about my best friend, Aaron, and I think about us in general, all of us in the old days had access to free education right through to university. We had access to free education. We all chose our path. We all chose what inspired us, what motivated us. We also had experiences in early life. We chose what inspired us, what motivated us. Sometimes, as Justice shared, you know, when you're on the floor, sometimes for many people, it's the best place to be. Because the only way is up. The only place you can look is up. You can't look down when you're face down on the ground. Because you're face down on the ground. So you can't look any lower. So the only thing you can do is turn over and look up. And when you look up, you realize there's somewhere you can ascend to. Everybody wants to climb the ladder. Everybody wants to go higher. So the difference is when you are face down, when you are flat down and there's nowhere else to go, the only way is up. And, you know, she described that so beautifully. And if you when you watch her, when you see her, the work that she does, the work that she's done for others, the way she inspires others, it's powerful beyond belief. But before we go into that, before I share that last part, this whole conversation around menopause is so interesting. I've shared on so many occasions, and I did the Black Unity Bike Ride at the weekend, which was absolutely amazing. And there's different groups of people, all denominations, and I saw a stand when we got back to the finish point. And there's a cycling group, Women of Colour Cycling Crew. We are Roots and Culture Cycling Crew. And I was talking to some ladies who loved our crest and what we stand for, and we were sharing, and then she asked what I do and I shared, and they said they would love me to come and talk on menopause. And last weekend I ran a workshop online for the small investment of £10, which would have been about $12, and it was Menopause Unpacked. And I let them know, and they're like, oh my god, I can't believe it. And then I was talking to my publisher because I'm ready to write my third book. So this keeps freezing. I'm not sure what's going on here, but we'll see. So I'm ready to write my third book. And he said, menopause is spelt wrong. Really is men on pause. So it should be men on pause, not menopause. And that statement has been made many times. There's also an app called meno.pause. And that's used as well. But then this, you know, my brain works differently. You know me, I go off at a tangent. And then I'm like, do you know what? Actually, no. What if menopause wasn't the statement? And really, what menopause really meant was me on pause. What if menopause is me on pause? What if menopause may stop our monthly cycles, but it doesn't stop us as women? So for me, menopause may have paused your hormones, but it's a narrative now that's persuaded us to pause ourselves, because you said it's like people think they get to the menopause and then like life is on pause. That's why I'm saying, like, what if menopause isn't, you know, 'cause menopause is a title given to a season that every female blessed with the length of days will experience. There's three things that we as females will definitely experience by God's grace if we live long enough. One is menstruation, second one is menopause, third one is death. There's three things guaranteed for every female that lives long enough to have the experience: menstruation, menopause, and death. Now, there are four things for some women, which is menopause, maternity, menstruation, and death. But that's it, right? So it sounds like, oh my God, has she gone crazy? No, I think it's really important, right? Because we hear it as one word. It's a medical word describing the end of menstruation and reproductive fertility. But if we look at it as me on pause, we can see it as something much bigger. Because menopause represents a pause in the reproductive rhythm that has accompanied us since menstruation. Ovulation stops. Menstrual periods cease. Estrogen and progesterone and DHEA, they no longer rise and fall in the same cyclical way. Although the cyclical pattern can continue within the body for some 10 to 15 years after the actual shedding of the uterine lining and the bleeding has stopped, right? But it doesn't mean that I have to stop. It doesn't mean that you have to stop. It doesn't mean that my confidence has to go on pause or your confidence has to go on pause. Your sensuality doesn't have to pause. Your ambitions don't have to pause, right? But your strength, movement, visibility, and happiness, they don't have to pause either. You may have to just address them or do them differently, right? None of these things have to pause. That's why I'm saying that the reproductive cycle may have finished. But you, as the female, you're still here by God's grace. So menopause may be a biological ending, but it also becomes a psychological and physical beginning of something new, something bigger. And so we have to look at it, you know, what has actually paused? What has actually paused? Because it's more about the cessation of the menstrual cycle, ovulation. But what happens is, when we start to look at a broader shift, we start to look at the hormonal shift, which has broader implications beyond reproductive hormones or cycles, because as reproductive hormones have roles that extend beyond reproduction, right? You have to understand that your sex hormones will also interact with your temperature regulation and your sleep. They interact with your vaginal, vulval, and urinary tissue. So that's in terms of lubrication. They interact with bone remodeling. They interact with muscle and connective tissue. They interact with skin hydration and collagen, with mood, memory, and concentration, with body fat distribution, which we always know about the menopause belly they talk about, and metabolic health, sexual desire, and comfort. So that makes their role huge. It makes it huge, and it takes it outside of that. When we understand there's hormone conversation between the uterus and the ovaries for cardiovascular and brain function, it takes it outside of babies. So we have to understand that. So we have to remember that estrogen isn't simply lubricating the joints. Hormonal change may affect collagen. It may affect connective tissue, muscle recovery, and pain perception. But at the same time, movement, strength, hydration, nutrition, sleep, previous injuries, and inflammation will all influence how our joints feel. So this helps us to understand why women will experience menopause differently. If we start to look at me on pause and understand it from an individual standpoint, we'll understand that the symptoms are never the same for a group of women in one room. The bane of life hot flush for one woman is the brain fog for another, and no symptoms for a third. So we have to understand that. Hormonal transition may be real, but its expression sits within the woman's existing health history. It sits within her menstrual history, her menstruation history, her pregnancies and her maternal experiences. It sits within her muscle and bone reserves, her digestive health, her stress load, massive, her stress load, her sleep, quality of sleep, her sleep hygiene, her nutrition, her alcohol and smoking, lifestyle habits, medication and medical history, movement and movement ability, relationships and environment. I mean, when you start to look at your hormonal transition through those lenses, it's like, what the buckside is going on with my body, right? Hormones may change the climate, but the condition of the house affects how well the weather and how well you weather it. They call it weathering in America, weathering. So your hormones affect the climate inside your physical home, but the conditions of the house affect how well you will weather the storm. That's the difference. And that's what I think we need to understand. And when we start to understand that, we can start to understand health. This is why I do these 60-day journeys. This is why she comes first. You are she. You are self, you are hormones, and your emotions all wrapped into one amazing, fearfully and wonderfully made, blessed and divinely favored body that was designed for signs and wonders. Let's play a trail.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We're back. So, yes, me on pause. I'm not telling any woman to deny the change, because we're there. I'm not telling you to defeat the change or surrender to it. I'm asking you to understand the change well enough to move with it intelligently, right? It's like course correction. So I'm just saying, like, stop fighting the change. And I thought of it, right, in terms of a car. When you're in an accident, like my cousin, he hit this like wet patch and, you know, his car started spinning out of control. And they tell you that when you're in a skid, right, instinct may tell you to turn sharply away from the skid and the direction in which you're moving. But fighting the skid can make you lose control and make the outcome worse. So what you have to do in that situation, you don't pull the brakes, you don't put on the brakes, you don't pull the handbrake, you don't turn the opposite direction. You've got to somehow, in that scary season, remain calm and understand the vehicle is doing what it needs to do and make the appropriate correction, right? For me, menopause can feel like that. Your body begins behaving differently. And sometimes you're asking yourself, what? Your temperature starts to change, like you're having your own personal summers, as Whoopi Goldberg would call it. Your sleep changes, it's broken, you can't get a decent night's sleep. You go swimming at night time, you wake up in a pool. Your energy changes. So your mood, your joints, your skin, your intimate tissues, your bladder, gosh, your body shape and confidence. They may all begin communicating to you in some seriously unfamiliar ways, right? And because we don't understand what's happening, the first and natural instinct is to panic. So we start to fight the body, we start to resent it, we start to punish it, we start to restrict food more aggressively, possibly, because its belly's coming out of nowhere. We exercise harder, but we recover less, not recognizing that adaptation happens in rest, not in movement itself. But we need to move first so the body can adapt accordingly. We ignore fatigue, we push through. We accept pain, we normalize it. We cover symptoms without asking what may be intensifying them. So, you know, there's a statement that when you ask someone and they got all these excuses, we said there's a plaster for every sore. That's what we're doing. But perhaps fighting menopause is like fighting, excuse me, a car that's going into a skid. So the harder you resist the change without understanding it, the more disconnected you become from your body and who you may become. So I'm not asking you to give up. It doesn't mean that you should give up. It doesn't mean you should accept every symptom as inevitable, because that's not correct. And it doesn't mean simply learning to live with poor health, because no one should learn to live with poor health. And that is how a lot of systems are set up today, to allow you to maintain the status quo, which means you live with poor health and believe that you're healthy. But what it does mean is that you learn how to course correct. And that might simply be by asking questions like, and being aware, because you need that awareness. And that's by part of the self. The S is self-love, self-care, self-awareness. So that you become aware of, you know, when your body's saying, or the questions your body's asking of you. What does my body require right now? You know, what worked for me at 25 that no longer serves me at 50 or 60 or 70? You know? Do I need more recovery? That's a good question. Do I need to do more strength work? That's a powerful question. These are powerful questions. Is it more protein? Is it better hygiene? Is it less alcohol? Because everything's driven by alcohol, right? The scenes are all set around alcohol. Different food choices. Greater attention to my digestion. Maybe I might need more support for my bladder, my bones, my intimate tissues. Do I need to address the stress I've normalized? Do I need to stop treating exhaustion as a badge of honor? Because course correction is not failure. What it is intelligence. It's literally intelligence, emotional intelligence, physical intelligence, spiritual intelligence, hormonal intelligence, emotional intelligence. A sailor does not become angry when the wind has changed direction. What a sailor does is adjust the sails. The destination may remain the same, but the way they reach it may change. Our lives are very much like that too. The hormonal wind changes, so our responsibilities change. Our relationships change. Our bodies change, so we have to change accordingly. Our energy changes, so we have to adjust accordingly. Our priorities change, so we have to prioritize accordingly. And that's what we need to do. But if we continue to try to sell ourselves with a fixed position in the same position, but the wind has changed, we're in trouble. So that's why life can feel so difficult. That's why it can feel so different. And perhaps menopause is asking you to adjust, not abandon the journey, not lower your expectation, not disappear, not curl into a ball, not accept, but to learn a new way of traveling. Because that's literally what we're doing, we're traveling. We have to learn a different way to travel. And we've been taught to manage menopause. We've been taught to maintain symptoms. We've been taught to accept decline. We've been taught to cope quietly. But all of that is balderdash. It's balderdash. If the invitation was greater than that, what if we could understand rather than fear? What if we could embrace rather than resent? What if we could respond rather than react? Adapt rather than surrender. Flow rather than fight. invest rather than wait for crisis. Menopause is not asking you. Menopause is not asking you to become the woman you were before. But it's inviting you to become a woman who understands herself more deeply than ever before. That is a powerful position to be in. Your reproductive years may have ended, but your life has not. Your body may require a different strategy, but your purpose may require a different pace. Your happiness may require different boundaries, and your health may require more deliberate investment. Regardless, whatever it is, your journey continues by the grace of God. The wind has changed, adjust your sails. Course correct, then you can press play. You're dancing to the same tune, but it's a totally different beat. And you learn not merely how to survive menopause, but you actually learn how to excel, how to thrive through menopause. Let's play a trail. If you want to speak to me about any of these things that I've shared here, this resonates with you, and you want to do some work with me, one-to-one coaching, or you'd like to get more information on the 60-day journey, the fascia freedom, because all of these things help you to be reintroduced to your body and to understand how this new season shapes up and where you're going, then remember, you can find me on Instagram at Pelvic Secrets, TikTok as well, X as well, Facebook. I am Jenny, J-E-N-N-I, Jennifer minus the F-E-R is Jenny with an I, no E on the end. Jenny Russell on LinkedIn, Jenny Russell on Facebook, and also Pelvic Floor Secrets. On LinkedIn, natural hair, purple velour, velvet, crushed velvet dress, little handbag in my hand, that's my picture. And on Facebook, I'm standing on a Swiss ball, saying it's just a question of balance. That's all life is. Let's play a trail.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And well, yeah, I do belong in those rooms. And if I'm not in the room to advocate on the behalf of the people that need advocating on behalf of, then I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm. And that's wonderful. And I think, you know, that's lovely because, you know, and then going back also about identity and recognition, you know, it's like you said, I turn up and regardless of what I have, the first thing they see is a black woman.
Mm.
You know, like you said, a black woman with blonde hair, whatever, you turn up, that's the first thing they see. And you know, you've got this lovely soft voice, and I don't know if on the phone people hear your voice and think you're white. I've had that before for myself and a friend of mine, you know, and some will go, "Ooh, you're black."
Yeah, and when I wrote stuff online, like I was in the community from where I grew up, and their Facebook groups like 20,000, and there were some negative comments around Black Lives Matter and things like that. And I wrote a post about growing up in Harbour, and I posted a picture of my primary school end of year picture, and it was like me, the only Black girl in the class, and I talked about the challenges of growing up. But actually, there was two small incidents of racism, but everyone was. It was just such a community feeling. Fast forward, 40 years later, 35 years later, things seem to have gone backwards. And I wrote this long post, just typing away, you know, and then there's hundreds and hundreds of likes and comments, and some of the white people saying, oh my gosh, this was so articulate. This was so well written. And I'm like, it's not a compliment that you think that it is.
Exactly. You don't
got one of the people saying, oh, what was you expecting? Slang and like whatever, do you know what I mean? It's like we know how to speak, we know how to write, we know how to articulate ourselves, and so sometimes I do get that, or people say, oh, you've got quite a posh voice, and I'm like, so just being able to speak properly and articulate yourself and to communicate, I don't think, why should that be classed as being posh, and that if you're working class that you shouldn't be articulate and you can't communicate, because actually I came from a working class, you know, family and upbringing.
Yeah, and it is quite interesting because it's still there today, and it's almost as if, you know, how do you speak that way? What do you mean? I open my mouth and words come out. You know, it's like I open my mouth and I write spoken word, and I've published a couple of books and stuff, and I've written for magazines, and then people sort of say, oh, you're a writer. And I've been questioned about, I don't mind being questioned about my qualifications. I have no worries about being questioned. I don't have a degree in physiotherapy. It's like, well, then how did you do this? And I developed my own sensory program. I've had my work published at the International Continence Society, but I've gone there and I've had physiotherapists sort of say, you know, we've done 4 years of physiotherapy and some people are just trying to come in. And I'm like, hold on. When I published this first book in 2005, I sent it to the Institute of Chartered Physiotherapists. They told me it was impossible to activate the pelvic floor through the vagina. I won't tell you the answer I gave. I was just like, they were, ooh. Now, you know, 20 years later, they talk about activating the pelvic floor. Oh, where from? Oh, the vagina. I mean, it's like, it's not rocket science when you understand muscle and movement, but sometimes people will look at you and, you know, you're an innovator. We're going to talk about your authority table in a moment. You have these innovations and it's almost as if someone's asking you, so who helped you to get that idea?
Yeah, of course, definitely.
Do you get that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the authority live and the authority table, they then followed on from the second chapter, or are they an offshoot from that, or are they standalone?
No, they're part of the second chapter.
Okay.
And so the authority table are quarterly events, lunches, dinners, where we bring women into the room for conversation about life, business, the challenges, the highs, the lows. It's about proximity and access to women, where you can share your peers, you can network, you can build relationships. I say your next client may be in the room, you may be somebody else's client, your next collaboration or partner. You know, it could be the door to a next opportunity being in that room. And so we need to have safe spaces as women and women in business. And, you know, we face unique challenges as well. And I like to bring the diversity, you know, in terms of the mix, because, again, some of these can be silos and become silos. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a place for those silos. But at the same time, for us to learn and to grow, we need to kind of all come together at some point. And so that's what the authority table is. It's all about building brand authority. That's the underlying theme. Each table has a different short kind of theme to it. So this first one that I just did was all about, what are the 7 brand moves that you're going to make over the next 12 months? And I'm going to show you mine. And the next one is about a decision. What decisions you need to make, the decisions behind the brand. What are the decisions that's going to allow your business and your brand to go to the next level that you need to make now? In 2026, it's going to be in the autumn for 2027. So each table is quarterly, it has a theme to it. And then the Authority Live is my new flagship annual event, which takes place in central London on the 6th of November. And it's bringing together 200 ambitious women who want to build brand authority, who may already be experts in what they do, but they may be overlooked, under-recognized, underpaid. And we want to go from overlooked to in demand, to underpaid, to be getting paid our value. And so I'm going to be teaching my alongside a host of experts and speakers and sharing information, insights and knowledge on how to get high ticket premium clients, how to build a brand, how to get into the press and get yourself visible in front of the right media, and how to attract those opportunities, how you can create your own events for your own industry, how to use social media and leverage it without having to sit on social media all day. How do you build community for impact, and a host of other things as well.
Wow, that's amazing. That's also 2 days before my birthday, which is amazing. And it's the day before I do these bi-monthly events in Soho, Unfiltered, where we have these conversations. Although I cancelled the last two because of losing my mum. But yeah, so the next one's September, and then the next one's actually the day before my birthday. Last year was actually on my birthday, which is really nice. And I think those things are really important, because I suppose, like you said, I feel like there's... Sometimes I feel like I was always told from 20 years ago because I published that first book in 2005. Mm. And I had a whole page in the then Sunday magazine from the News of the World. I had like a 10-minute interview on This Morning Television. And I think getting into the press, getting onto TV is one thing, but being able to come back is another. And, yeah. You know, 2006 when I went on and a bit of verbal diarrhea, you know, learning how to
speak. Different. Yeah.
Shut up.
Media training and things
like
that.
That's a whole challenge. I have the confidence to speak in front of the camera, but it's actually knowing how to put your stuff across. And that's, I think that's a skill that I can still learn more from. So, yeah. You know, someone like yourself is really, really powerful. I find that sometimes women of an age may look and think, well, what can she teach me? But as long as I remain open to be taught, I can be taught by anybody.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I have people who are younger than me teaching stuff because they're an expert in what they do. That, you know, someone being an expert in an area doesn't negate from where your expertise and wisdom lies. You know, I'm in someone's mastermind, and it's a high ticket mastermind. It's a multi-thousand-pound investment, and she considers all our peers, but she's an expert in what she specifically does around sales and sales strategy. I'm an expert in terms of brand authority. Someone else is in there is an expert in PR. And so there's different people who are experts in what they do. And I think what we have to do is we have to remove our ego. Like, I could say, well, listen, I've done 400 talks. I can always learn from someone who's a speaker. It's always something that you can pick up and learn, have a different perspective of. I think if you go through life, I always used to say life is a lifelong learning university. Yeah, and you have to be willing. The day you stop learning is the day you're ready to die, you know. And so you have to continue to learn. You have to continue to grow. And you can learn from, as I say, out of the mouth of babes. You can learn from anybody if you're willing to. And you've just got to put aside pride, ego, and all these things that are stopping you from really fulfilling your potential. Because if someone, you know, somebody who's at my event and paid to come to my event, I've invested in their program specifically around AI. We can be each other's clients. It's okay.
You can
teach me in the area which is your strength and maybe my weakness. And that's okay, because all you're going to do is limit your own potential and your own growth.
100%. So what's next? I mean, you know, people, like you said, becoming recognized is different to being visible. That's a big thing for a lot of people.
Yes.
And now, you know, HarperCollins. I mean, I published my books and I'm like, I wanted to get into HarperCollins. I had an opportunity... which I did pass up at the time to write for Penguin. That was massive. But I do this spoken word, and I had this all these spoken words on incontinence, and I had this whole thing around how to keep your knickers dry, the adult thing they do. And they loved it. But everything had to be changed for American language. And at the time when I wrote it, like 8-10 years ago, I just struggled to panties and that just didn't flow. So I was just like, it's too much work. But, you know, I could have done it, you know. But that's the saying. It doesn't mean it can't come around again. It doesn't mean I can't reapproach that thing. But what I love, though, is that you've graduated from the HarperCollins Academy, and you're finally publishing a book.
Yeah, so the HarperCollins Author Academy, I think it's in its fifth year. I think we're cohort 8. So cohort 9 will be, you know, opening probably at the end of the year. And it's an annual program. Now, caveat it with it that you do not get guaranteed of a publishing deal through HarperCollins. Mm. What you get is 6 months worth of masterclasses, mentorship, support, of how the entire publishing industry works. And then you've got 12 months post the program to submit your manuscript or your book proposal unagented, which is typically not the case when you're working with a major traditional publisher. Hmm. And then it's their choice whether or not some people get picked up. Not everybody will get a book deal off the back of it. However, many go on to successfully self-publish or get book deals with other publishers, or get a second, you know, their second book published again. So what it has taught me is just so much about the publishing industry. I was already ready to self-publish anyway. I explored hybrid publishing, being a publisher myself. Mm. There's certain things that I'm like, I can do myself or my team can do. And so, you know, one of my long-term goals is to be a publisher anyway in the future. And so it was just great understanding the industry. There was multiple reasons why I did it. My book would have been out this year had I not got selected on the program. And so it's kind of a bit like, watch this space. I get to submit my manuscript, which I'll do in the autumn, and they'll give me a decision within 3 months whether or not they're going to go forward with it.
Fantastic. Well, both of my books are self-published. And I remember that the first one, I bought like 10 ISBN numbers. It's like, got my own publishing house, you know, and it is quite a powerful thing. And both of my books are full color and they've got the illustrations. And you know, with the second one, I could have just as easily just had a digital copy, but I spent like £8,000 on the medical illustrations. I'm like, I want it in my hand, I want to see it, I want it in print. And there's obviously a difference between print and digital. And yeah, so I commend you, because I think sometimes people are scared to self-publish. But, you know, with this first one, I bought a brand new Beetle in 2002. In 2003, I'm washing the dishes, looking out the window. The title I thought was the hardest bit, and it just dropped into my head. Can a Vagina Really Buy a Mercedes? And I rang Sunita, like, no other car works. It just doesn't work. It doesn't flow that way, you know?
Yeah.
And it just came, and then subtitled, What Can Your Perfect Flaw Do For You? With Gardeners, they were like, well, it's not a sex book, is it? It's not. It's much more about the relationship between our muscles and how they show up on sexual function. But it's that opportunity to know that you can reach a wider audience with your work by putting it into print, and they've got something that they can take away. It's also an entry level into you, isn't it?
Yeah, and also as well, I see it as a massive part of brand authority as well, having a published book. And so it's part of that ecosystem of your personal brand. I think everybody should publish a book at some point. And also as well, the beautiful thing is that books outlive us. So hundreds of years from now, someone could be reading your book, your stories, and learning from you. And so it's kind of like part of your legacy and your gift.
It's lovely. And I think because you've already got so much a platform already, you know, they say that only 7% of authors sell 100 copies. You know, you're going to way past that. I sold, you know, this was in 2005 when I published this book, and I sold 4,000 copies, and I never got on a bookshelf.
You know?
So, and there was no social media back then or anything, you know?
And then people that get published by major publishers don't even sell 4,000 copies. So that's a massive achievement.
Yeah. And with this one, I sold 3,500 copies, and that was in You Magazine, Mother and Toddler. So I did all those little magazines.
Yeah.
So it does make a difference. And I know that you're only going to go from strength to strength. So I know our time is fast spent. What is next for Justice after the book? What's the title of the book as well, by the way?
Work in progress at the moment, so I can't quite announce the title of the book.
No problem.
Yeah, I'm going back and forth with two titles. I don't want to say one and then it's not. And I need to then go register it before somebody goes in. Teeth my title.
Exactly.
The goal is global, like, there's going to come a point in the next few years when I'm going to depart the UK for swapping the streets of Birmingham for the beaches but maybe the Caribbean, Africa, who knows? But I think there's more work to be done. But my work isn't finished here yet. And obviously with the internet, we're all connected. You know, I think that we've got, you know, I always say have passport, we'll travel. So it's like, yeah, if you need me in Africa, you need me in the bar, you know, I can get to where I need to get to.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I'm in a stage of life where I've given a lot of my life to supporting and helping other people. And I want to get to a point in the next few years where actually I can claim back some of that time. I mean, you can't claim back time, but, you know, no longer be spending so much time and allowing the business to grow and run itself and have a team and a lot of automation. I'm heavily using AI and things like that so I can travel and write a lot more. So, yeah, so there's going to be a lot, and relax. And to now be able to, as I said, I've been on the platform so long so that it can cement my position to be the platform for other people. And that's one of the reasons why I'm a TEDx licensee and I run TEDx events and things like that. So yeah, watch this space, but it's more about the next phase of my life. The next 5 years is about platforming other people.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Well, I've just joined a Black Pats group for Barbados. My mum was from Barbados, my dad was from Jamaica. And that's, I've got a whole thing that I want to get started over in Barbados. And I said, like, now that I've sadly lost, you know, my mum and my dad is gone, I don't have that responsibility of caring anymore. And so, and my son's, you know, one's 32, one's 20. So I have that freedom, you know, to explore.
I've got to go now and do the school run. So I'm still in the school run and you've got like, yeah, you got your time.
Right. Before you go, where can people, because I know you're on LinkedIn. Is there any other social platforms that people can find you on?
Find me on Facebook, you can find me on Instagram, and so those are the three platforms that you can find me on. I do also have a Substack, but LinkedIn I would say is the number one platform, and then again on Facebook, but I would say definitely LinkedIn.
And is there a date for the next authority table in August?
Yes. So 11th of September is the next authority table in London. Provisional date of 2nd of October for Birmingham. For all those in Birmingham complaining that, when are you doing one of the ones in Birmingham? Let's see if the demand's there and then I'll put it up. And excellent. Then Authority Room Live is on the 6th of November. And then I'm doing some Brand Authority Strategy Days mid-August and also in September for people that want to work on their brand with me in person in a small group environment in the leafy suburbs of Birmingham.
You have been an absolute blessing. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for inviting me onto your podcast. I really do truly
appreciate it. Do you know, I think it took the best side of a year for me to be able to get this amazing woman on my radio show, on my podcast, and have the privilege of speaking to her. Now, every single guest I have on my show, I think it's a privilege to get to speak to them. But Justice has been someone in my radar that I've wanted to speak to, just in the same way that I'm going to be, by God's grace, having an amazing guest that I cannot mention her name right now, who I'm going to have in September for Unfiltered in Soho. I think every time you have an opportunity to speak to somebody about the person behind the brand that you see, the journey they've taken, the experiences they've had, how they've been inspired through it in spite of it, I think is amazing. But what I do know as a child of God myself is that, you know, some people get to certain places and the resentment and the anger remains, and others recognize that there's something bigger than themselves. And they know that, you know, God gives them an opportunity and a mandate, and they might go through the fiery furnace with some rubbish to start with and different stories and backgrounds. But when God lifts you up, no man can pull you down. So Justice, you have been elevated beyond elevation, and I give thanks for your life. Now, we are at the end of the show. So I want to remind you of this one statement that we started. We begin menstruation with reproductive abundance. We reach menopause, menopause, with reproductive scarcity. But reproductive scarcity must never be mistaken for personal scarcity. You're still here. You're still thriving. You're still doing something. As Justice shared last week, and I've mentioned it earlier in the show, when you reach rock bottom, turn onto your back. The only way is up. I'm going to finish the show by sharing with you this morning. Obviously, it goes out throughout the week, but I had a massive anxiety attack this morning. Like, I couldn't breathe, and I had this overwhelming sense of loneliness. I don't classify myself as a lonely person. I stayed at my mum's house last night. I slept in her room the first time since she passed away. And I think it could be a combination of things. In my expression of loneliness, I thought, was my mum lonely? She never had a big, massive support network of friends. And we're so busy living our lives that we can be, our self-awareness can be such that it's in ourselves that we don't see the people around us and how they find comfort in things that actually take away their health. I hope this inspires you to understand that health is a mental, emotional, hormonal, physical, spiritual, nutritional, circadian rhythm, oxygenated rhythm journey, and much more. So until next week in Health and Happiness, recognize that a fit person doesn't mean they are a healthy person. Health is a combination of principles. She comes first. 13 letters, 15 principles that makes up the person. And I pray that you get to experience that. You can find justice. You can enjoy what she has. Remember, money is a means to an end. But God is everything, the source, the beginning and the end. And I hope at some point you will seek his face. Stay blessed, stay safe, stay well.